The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the first half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 13th through Sunday, February 19th, 2023. The commentary for this month of February was written by Paige Pelfrey, a member of Christ Church in Guilford, Connecticut, where she lives with her three children and two cats. She teaches high school world languages and is passionate about mission, community service, and finding Scripture and the baptismal covenant in everyday life. The commentary for Monday, February 13th, begins as follows with a passage from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. When I read Scripture, I practice dwelling in the Word. As I read the Bible passage once or twice, I reflect on words, phrases, and ideas that grab me. Why are these images and scenes important to me? How does it connect to my life? How is God working through me? When I read 1 and 2 Timothy in preparation for this month of devotions, I repeatedly found myself relating to Paul. He sounded like an older teacher helping a newer teacher continue in their vocation during a pandemic. In fact, I asked a younger teacher who I knew was a Christian to read them and ask me if it had sounded that way to her. She said, yes. Paul doesn't want Timothy to let go of his work any more than I want young teachers to change professions. Paul is exactly right. The best instruction comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. In all that we do, we need this more now than ever. Now I'm going to read from the full passage for today, from the first letter of Paul to Timothy, and this will be verses 1 through 17 in chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus so that you may instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine and not to occupy themselves with myths and the endless genealogies that promote speculations rather than the divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is love, love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it legitimately. This means understanding that the law is laid down not for the innocent, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the godless and sinful, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their father or mother, for murderers, fornicators, sodomites, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the moving forward statement for this day relates to the magazine itself. Did you know Forward Movement donates resources to nursing homes, hospitals, and prisons? Learn how you can help in this vital ministry at forwardmovement.org/donate. And now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, February 14th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 14. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. My favorite Bible stories are when we see the people doing normal human things. I like when they lose their tempers. I love when they show their imperfect sides. Jesus was the Son of God, and he died to save us all. He told parable after parable and taught us, by word and example, how to treat each other. But in this passage, we also see a 33-year-old man who is hungry and finds nothing to eat. He loses his temper on a tree in front of his friends. Have you ever seen someone who you thought was perfect lose it? Did the scene make you feel a little bit better about your own moments of humanity? We must forgive ourselves when we make mistakes or snap at loved ones because we are hungry, tired, or something happened at work and we brought it home to our family. Breathe, walk, pray, or even pack a snack or go look for another tree. Now I'm going to read from this full passage for today from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 26. On the following day when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it and he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs, he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered." Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And the moving forward questions for this day: what are some of your favorite stories of Bible characters showing their human frailties? Do these stories strengthen or weaken your faith? And why? Now the commentary for Wednesday, February 15th. It begins with a verse from Psalm 119, verse 144. The righteousness of your decrees is everlasting. Grant me understanding that I may live. My children and I used to play a lot of board games when they were little, and occasionally, if I'm lucky, those teenagers will play a game with me now. There is a lot of laughter, strategy, fellowship, and life sharing when you play a board game. Sometimes when we're playing, I can feel myself getting pulled to other things. I need to grade papers and wash the dishes. I want to catch up on those last three episodes of whatever show I'm binging on. But those things are distractions from how we are truly called to live. Life is with loved ones. They will not be around forever, and every moment counts. Make time for what's important. Yes, the decrees are around forever, and there will be an afterlife, but this moment is only going to happen once. Life isn't perfect all the time, but we can't forget to live. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel passage for this Wednesday, February 15th. It is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 27, through chapter 12, verse 12. Again they came to Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do them?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, answer me, and I will tell you what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? Answer me." They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But shall we say of human origin?" They were afraid of the crowd, for all regarded John as truly a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you, but what authority I am doing these things." Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This is one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat and others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally he sent them to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told them this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, so they left him and went away. The moving forward question for this day, and it's really more of a statement or suggestion: turn off the TV and your smartphone and put away your to-do lists. Instead, spend time with your loved ones, in conversation, during board games, or on a hike. Now let's turn to the Moving Forward commentary for Thursday, February 16th. It begins with a passage from the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Every time I tried to quit teaching, another opportunity came up. I had decided to be a stay-at-home mom with my daughter. I called her learning center to tell them she wasn't coming, and the assistant director said, "We would love a Spanish program. Would you like to teach here?" I had a new job the same day I resigned from my old one. By no fault of my own, I was laid off from another position. As I lost that job, I received an email that a local high school wanted to interview me. I prayed and cried and prepared. In the end, I was laid off on Monday, interviewed on Tuesday, taught a sample class on Wednesday, and hired on Friday. Teaching languages is a gift the Lord expects me to use. I even use it in the summer when I lead a Bible school in the Dominican Republic. When it's a gift, you don't have a choice. And now I'm going to read from the full text for today, the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by God's word and by prayer. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness. For while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And the moving forward question for this day is, what gift is in you? Are you using it wisely and to the glory of God? Now the commentary for Friday, February 17th, it begins with a passage from Isaiah 65, verse 17. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. It's hard to have hope after a lot of suffering. During Isaiah's writing, the people of Israel have been exiled and are suffering in Babylon. Many years later, his writings are used to comfort a people who have lost hope. They are no longer exiled or living under someone else's rule, but they are a broken people. They feel defeated. These words from Isaiah remind them that all will be well in the end. God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. That time in Babylon, gone. That pain, gone. Those memories that drag us down and make us bitter, gone. In the new world, we will be one people, one body, and one new creation. What a beloved community that will be. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring, blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food, shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, said the Lord. And now the moving forward question for this Friday. What new thing is God doing in you? Are you open to the possibility? The commentary for Saturday, February 18th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 44. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is a favorite Bible story. I remember listening to the Sunday school teacher retell the story. Someone who had nothing gave her all. She probably had bills to pay and children to feed and wondered how she'd paid for tomorrow's bills, but still she gave those coins. We all would like to think we are the widow and everyone else is the flashy one. I have to pray and ask God to help me focus on my own two coins. What am I living on and what am I giving to others? Did I submit my pledge? Someone somewhere may look at me and see abundance. Yet I see myself as giving my all. That's when I pray and turn to Jesus and remember that I need to focus on me and my life, not on the person in the pew next to me. And now I'm going to read from this full passage from Mark 12, verses 35 to 44. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord, so how can he be his son?" And the large crowd was listening to him with delight. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And the moving forward question, what would be your equivalent of the widow's mite offering? Are you prepared to give extravagantly and sacrificially? And now the commentary for the final day of this week, Sunday, February 19th. It begins with a passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. I often struggle with knowing the will of God. If I pray and get an answer, is it what God wants, or is it what I want? Does God want me to take graduate school classes, or do I just want to get away from the children for a night? Does God want me to volunteer at the school, or do I want to be in my daughter's business? Does God want this for me, and why? And are you sure? And seriously, could I please do something else? A friend of mine once told me that everything always works out for me. I thought she was crazy because at the time I could only focus on the bad things. But as she ticked off example after example, I realized she was right. When something is God's will, it falls into place. If I force my will on anything, it falls apart. Now the full passage from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit from God. The moving forward question for this day, how do you discern God's will versus your own desires? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thanks for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.